everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited. I am your host, Gil, and today I am joined by three other co-hosts. We have a guest co-host today. I'm going to introduce to Zach. Welcome, Zach. Hello.
Hello there.
I stole your
And then
General Kenobi.
And then the Force dynamic duo, the Didax in the Force, Corey and Rob. How you guys doing? Didax? I forgot.
Dyads.
Yeah. So you know, I'm thinking about triptychs and diptychs.
Yeah, I know.
And
I was like, wait, are you trying to say triptych, diptychs? What's going on here? But yeah, no, we're here. It's a pleasure to have Zach on the podcast with us.
Indeed.
So Zach is quickly becoming a very good friend of ours. He's a member of the McClunky Gaming team. So my home competitive team, quote unquote. Well, not quote unquote. It is a competitive team. Of course it is. They're like probably the best, in my opinion, but I am biased.
I was gonna say a little biased.
I am biased. Hey, biasy there. McClunky had the first 2-time PQ winner, like out of all the competitive teams out there. You know what I'm saying? And they're consistently performing. And I will say, this might be controversial, but like when they're in the same room as let's say K2D, they win every time.
It's about to get spicy up McClunky in here.
So, by the way. My fellow teammate Tyler or Dark, Tyler Mersing, he's been on a guest on the show as well. He is a co-host for a podcast for John Tata, who's a K2D member. Tune into that episode if you haven't already, or if you haven't, it's gonna be coming out tomorrow, or because today is Wednesday, it's coming out Thursday. I think John Tata usually drops around noon. They're doing like a fantasy draft. So like for Galactics, like it's a point fantasy draft to see who's gonna win Galactic or something like that. So it's a pretty cool content. Check it out. Okay, so some logistics. We did our Digi Break. Corey, thank you for hosting that. I heard sent you the shipping list. So expect your cards to go out sometime in the near future before Galactics. It was really fun. I like doing stuff like that, and definitely not. This is not gonna be the only time we do it. We just have to think. Try to get, maybe we'll think a little more outside the box. I felt like I like variety. I mean, you know what I mean? So like maybe there's a different way we could do it next time. But that was really fun. Yeah, people were on the call. That was really cool. And there's some really cool pulls actually. We didn't pull a serial case of serialized, but one day.
One
dream.
Day.
So today we're for the collection, Corey, what do you have for us?
So we're getting close to Galactics here, but what I was thinking of is how do you guys actually travel with your stuff? Like, how do you store it? How do you bring the things to an event like this? Because obviously, people are going to be coming from all over the country and the world, right? We got PQ winners all over the world. And so they're coming. How are we storing things and bringing them to Galactics, actually?
Well, I can jump in here because I think one of the things, and this goes back to my miniature tournament days, is decide your lists ahead of time. Make sure you know what you're going to play. If you do have potential sideboards like, I might play this, I might play that, bring that along with you. But you're not bringing a lot of extra stuff. So like if you're traveling far, know what you're playing and you're not deviating from that. Because you can't bring everything, and particularly with cardboard mana, it weighs a freaking ton.
Oh, for sure. But this I think with Galactics, because it's such a more not just a competitive event, it's more of a celebration of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have areas specifically for people to meet and play and trade. Like I want to bring things that I could potentially trade and have, you know, value there. I can share things that I've pulled that people haven't pulled, and then we can get things that I'm looking for. And so, like, for me, I have like this binder.
It's the trade binder.
So I got my binder. It's got all my legendaries, and of course my background is blurry, so you can't see. But it's got all the legendaries. So I'm gonna definitely be bringing my binder of stuff that I have. I am almost full actually with it now that Legends of the Force came out with all the prestige cards in there. But I want to do that. Definitely have that. Got my deck pods, obviously. Like you're saying, you want to have a deck that you're pretty comfortable with. And then event, you're going to have Trilogy there. You're going to have Twin Suns there. So like, are you bringing decks for that?
I'm bringing three. But I think I'm like I while I'm intrigued in playing Trilogy, I don't know if I'm going to do it this weekend or this coming weekend rather. I've got like my main event deck and then probably like two decks that I can switch out for side events so that I don't get bored of playing the same deck for the entire weekend.
Yeah.
So Zach, yeah. You've been to a lot of PQs. So how do you transport your collection and or like cards, you know, how do you protect them?
Yeah.
I'm a little not messy, but I don't do the whole binder thing. I do the duffel bag method. So seriously, it's really, it fits everything perfectly. I do my double deck pod, which has my deck in it, and I leave a space open for whatever stuff I'm getting that day.
When you say duffel bag, I was thinking just like, you're throwing cards in this bag, and you open up, and cards are flying everywhere. That's what I was picturing.
I do a lot of boxes, and I kind of symmetrically place them like Legos.
Okay.
And
boxes, something like these, this kind of long box.
Yeah, like the long cameras. Boxes.
I use like the pre-release boxes actually.
Like the little deck box.
And then at the very bottom of the duffel bag, I have like a binder, like a big binder. It has all my rares and legendaries in it, and I just keep it at the bottom, and it makes the whole thing like it's like a backing for the whole duffel bag. Everything sits on top of it, and it works out pretty well.
I do have a question for your collections when you're like bringing around, like for the trade binders and also putting in a duffel bag. So they're in the binder, but do you actually also sleeve them in the binder? Like, are they the inner sleeve or like an outer sleeve of some sort? Like, how do you protect your collection both at home and probably and also during this mobile, action, you know?
So generally, I a long time ago when I first started playing, I didn't have any sleeves. So I went on Amazon and I bought 1,000 red sleeves for $20. It was fantastic. They are cheap. They're not like super duper sleeves, but they're nice and like thin, and they provide like a nice little plastic covering. And I just kind of like, I sleeve it and then I kind of just throw it in the binder. And they're thin enough where, in regards to like my rares and legendaries, I can fit I can fit a playset into like one
sleeve
square of the binder.
Mm.
I go 1, 2, 3, and then I go 1, 2, 3, and I kind of like line them up that way. And the sleeves protect the cards, and they make the cards slideable, so I can just kind of slide them in and out. And they're not slideable to the point where they fall out either, which is nice. You have to put a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want that.
So no, I that's kind of how I do it. And when I go places, I bring a box of just those cheap, I call them cheap red sleeves. That's how I have them labeled. Cheap red sleeves. So whenever I get new cards, I throw them in a cheap red sleeve and I throw them to wherever I need them, and then it's good to go. And when I get home, I unpackage and organize that way.
So Corey, yeah, that's great. Corey, as the resident collector, how do you just, not even transportation, but how do you actually protect your collection? Yeah, I'm actually curious. How do you do that? Like, what do you do?
So I have everything sleeved that I feel is valuable or has value to the game and playability or collectability. So I have everything sleeved, no matter what, in the binder, outside the binder. If it's going to be something I want to save or keep protected, it's in a sleeve. Obviously, the commons on commons, not sleeved. The prestiges, yeah. I mean, well, you can't. Like, I have so much bulk. I'm not gonna sleeve all that stuff. That's what I'm saying.
I sleeve every playset of like a common and uncommon. Okay. Like I'm gotcha. A little, well, like that's what I do. Sorry, I was just curious.
Yeah, no, that's for me. No, I have the box here of my playset for the commons and commons for each set, so they just stay in there for the commons and commons. But then I have my binder for my collectible stuff. I do top loaders for my prestige foils. So like all my prestige foils are in top loaders, so that way they're protected that way. And I also double sleeve those as well. So like I'm very paranoid that I'm gonna scuff up my cards in some way. So I'm like triple protection there on those. And depending on the card itself, I'll do the mag loaders too. Like, do I have one here? I don't have one handy that's in from Star Wars, but I have a magic card. But the mag loaders are they're a little bit thicker, and they're UV protection as well, so it protects the cards from the sun. And so those for like showcases, some showcases, I'll put them in there as well.
Nice. Rob, do you care enough to like, I actually don't know how you organize your cards.
I do. Like, so I'm kind of like commons on commons. I don't bother with, but, like I keep all of my legendaries and prestiges. I use perfect fits, to protect them. Same thing with any serialized or showcases I put in the top loaders with an inner sleeve. And then outside of that, like occasionally rares, like if they're valued, like you know, malls, which are just expensive because they're used in every deck, right? Like you know, rares like of that kind of level that you'll see a lot of. And then I do separate out my hyperspaces and like hyperfoils, but again, depending on playability, I really won't. I'm not going to go through and sleeve all of them. It's just if they end up in a deck, if they get sleeved.
I feel like I've been between all of you guys because like. My prestiges and prestige foils and stuff is in an inner sleeve, but not in a top loader. It is in like a prestige binder, right? So it's like, and it's zipped. Mm. It's the Star official, the one that's, you know how I got the janky like
the upside down
Star Wars like logo, yeah. Binder. Yeah, Zach, I see your face. So if you so Zach is, if you're not watching the video, Zach has like a space of like not like confusion, what? Like what. So I got
slight disbelief.
I got a defunct product. Yeah, defunct product for $35. I didn't want to return it because I feel bad for my local game store. Like they get like credit card fees. They lose it twice.
Could be a one of a kind too. You know, oh, yeah. I mean, it's unique.
Yeah. It's like a
Padawan Unlimited exclusive.
Exactly. So I'm a little between all that. But okay. So we talked about the collection. The Protector collection a little bit. But has there been any changes to your guys' collection within the last couple weeks, especially since
I think I talked about the digi. I think we talked about it outside of the podcast, but I did open up Carbonite boxes, and I've opened up 3 mall showcases.
Two bears, another one.
Two bears office showcases, and a Kit Fisto showcase. So I did trade one to mall to you, Rob, for the second sister.
I still have your Luke Skywalker like showcase held hostage. I need to return it to you. Don't worry, it's still safe and sound.
Don't worry, he's undead. He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, got those showcases. So I'm definitely looking to move a mall and a Barriss. So
yeah, I want
maybe a Galactic.
I might want both, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. Zach, you haven't. I was there when you actually had some interesting pulls with your girlfriend last weekend.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling us the story?
She is Lady Luck. I'm 3-for-3 right now in boxes, but the one that Gil is mentioning was my only Carbonite box, probably will be the only Carbonite box I buy because budgeting in college and all that important life stuff. But she pulled it out of the pack. We've gone through it, and we were pulling some like decent like hyperfoils, hyperspaces, because I think all the cards are good and playable, and her face lit up. I was like, what did you do? What did you pull? And it was halfway through the pack, too. And I was like, it's not a show. It's serialized. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's amazing. Which one? And it was old DACA serialized. She started collecting all the Night Sister stuff. Yeah, so she was like, me and her almost got into like a fight. Like at the thing. She was like, I don't want you to trade it. I don't want you to trade it. I want to keep it. I was like, I don't know what to do with it. That was the Carbonite box. And then she ended up getting another booster box because she had so much fun with it. And she pulled a mall showcase out of the booster box.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Nice. That's like, so hard to do. Like,
My God, that is amazing. And I ended up trading that for a Mother Talzin showcase for her.
Yeah.
So that worked out. And then my most recent box, I pre-ordered a long time ago, but I opened it with her as well. Back-to-back packs, Vader.
Wow.
Came out. Foil Vader, regular Vader. So I'm 3-for-3 on hits right now. I'm feeling great. Like maybe I should go play the lottery number. I'm doing really well. And it's been this set's been a lot of fun. For sure. Look,
this set has been very fun, and a lot of the cards are playable. A lot of them are really, like, they look really good. So, congrats to you and your girlfriend. That's, like, amazing pulls, and it's, like, that joy, you know? of just like pulling cards. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, even Rob, like you had an amazing pull, like a solo pack pull the like, other day. Like I was like, what's going on?
So, well, okay. So first things first. So we got all of our stuff from our local store, and my first box is that bad boy.
Oh,
nice. Obi-Wan showcase.
Obi-Wan showcase looks so good. New Obi-Wan.
Yep, new Obi-Wan. And then because we've been kind of playtesting, and I think I'm still gonna give this a run in some of the side events, but and because he's been so cheap recently, I ended up picking up one of these guys.
Nice. It's Thrawn.
The first one, Spark Thrawn.
Yeah.
And then so last Friday, I got my dates mixed up, and I thought I was going to a tournament at Bearded Dragon. I was not. I ended up playing in a pre-release for the Gundam card game. But I bought in for that. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna get a carbonite pack. And so I flipped through the carbonite pack, and I'm like, okay, cool. I think I got one legendary hit, and then I was like, oh, I got a Leia in the prestige slot, and I keep going. All right, it was an okay pack, and then like I'm going back through it. She was serialized.
Totally missed
it. 249.
Totally missed it. Yeah. Oh, so she's 249.
249. Yeah. Just missed the 250.
Just missed the 250. Yeah.
Ooh, that's cool.
I am.
Looks good. The foil looks good on those. I will say, I'm not a fan of the backgrounds, but the foiling does help.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I didn't love the like swirly force backgrounds, but what they did on the treatment for this, you can kind of see it as I move it back and forth. It actually looks really good on the prestiges. So can't complain too much there. And you know, she's that's one that like you know she's a named character that everybody knows, and she's also fairly playable. Not that anybody's going to be playing with the serialized, but you know, so I was kind of happy for that pull. So we'll see. Awesome. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with it. I pulled in total between Jump to Lightspeed and this, I pulled 3 serialized, and I'm like, I'm never sure what to do with them. Like that's probably the best serialized I've pulled. You know, I like the idea of displaying them. Cause like I got a Banshee and I got, a Mist Hunter.
Yeah,
Mist Hunter in the last one. And like the Banshee in particular is gorgeous. So like I'm kind of like I kind of want to keep that one.
Keep it.
I don't think it's gonna sell for it's not gonna really it, sell for much.
Yeah. If we think about how, like what they're gonna sell for, real quickly as we close out the collection segment, even the Banshees, the last time I saw it sold for was like $140 USD.
Yeah.
Like that's just a random like number. So it's actually not that bad. I mean the prestige itself was like 61 cents. So like if you think about the serialized, I think actually because there's like I know Corey's mentioned this in previous podcasts, like there's kind of like a lot of serialized cards, their value isn't like near 400. I think they've actually all been depressed a little bit more, which I'm actually okay with because it's really fun for in terms of like collection, they're relatively affordable. Relatively, again, everyone has their own financial situation. $100 to one person might mean much is completely different to $100 to another person, so I'm not taking that away from anybody, but I'm talking about in relative value, right? My initial estimates were always like somewhere in the 300 to 400 range, 350 to 400 range, but like I just picked up an Oppo Rancisis number 4 show serialized card, a number 4 for $175. Like,
wow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's a very specific card. Don't get me wrong. Oppo Rancisis, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, is a 3-cost double command card. So it's a very specific card, but what he does, he's 4 Shadow Republic like traits, but what he does is he gains the ability of every other,
it's all keywords,
keywords essentially, and then his raid and restore is like actually worth more. So like if he's copying raid, he gets raid 2. If he gets restore, he gets restore 2. When another unit has like raid or restore, so it's actually really interesting card. And 4 is my favorite number, so I picked that up for 100. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, screw it, let's see what happens. That's why it's gonna get shipped to me in the next couple days.
I wasn't sure if you had pulled it or if you were like,
oh no, no. If I pulled the number 4, guarantee that'd be the first thing I talk about during this collection segment. But now that you know my favorite cards, we're gonna do one last thing before we move on to meta. Rob had shared some information last week in regards to special panel limited cards. So we revealed his card. Which card are we revealing this week, though?
Oh, this week? Mr. Corey.
Hey. What's up? So,
four cost, so double I'm a command.
Four cost, double command, 3-6 with smuggle.
smuggle, that's important.
So, yeah. When you play this through smuggle, I get to capture a card from my opponent's collection. So just as the collector, card. I just keep collecting.
Yeah.
So fun.
It's a good mechanic. It's very fitting. And honestly, like, the smuggle cost is what you would pay for if it was, if you weren't double green anyway. So, like,
yeah,
it's actually pretty cost effective. Yeah. I mean, six, you know,
you
six costs to be able to take someone's showcase or serialized card. I think that's it's a pretty, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, there you go.
Six stats on it, too. It's pretty good.
We're all overstated.
Well, they're overstated, but you'll see my card next week.
Well, you're just broken.
I mean, come on. I had to take the FET stat line. 4-7 on 5.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so great collection conversation. Love it. Let's move on to the next part of our program. Rob, we're going to talk about Maine a little bit, maybe Galactics a little bit as well. But what do you got for us?
Well, I know no one wants to hear it, but we are living in the force throw meta era. So it is something you're going to have to look out for. Yep, there it is. Everyone has kind of heard this to death. So, you know, we even did a segment on it not that long ago on things you can potentially do to not necessarily counter it, but be prepared for it. But beyond that, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think we're going to see a lot of Talzin. She just seems really strong. And you know, that red blue control, light control is going to be, I think, is going to be something we're going to see a lot of. That's what you're going to see in on the villain side. And I think I wouldn't be shocked if we see some the resurgence of Anakin. If we see, Anakin from Twilight of the Republic, not new Anakin, as well as, Han Blue, or Han 2 Blue, was the stuff last set. And I think we're going to see some more Han too, cause he's just gotten better.
Yeah. So just as a primer for anyone who might be new. When we say things like Han 2, like Han number, or like Anakin number, like Anakin 3 or something like that, that's written reference to like the set number. So like, because there is a Han Solo in set 1, Spark of the Rebellion. There's also a Han Solo, the young Han Solo, in set 2, Shadows of the Galaxy, right? So when we reference that, I just want you to be aware that that's what we're talking about. That's why also Rob was talking about like Anakin. There's a new Anakin, Anakin 6. Which is also a mono like color, like
mono white.
Anakin's 5, right? Think about Order 66 and how he executed it. You know, felt really bad for all the Padawans out there. He killed an unlimited amount of them.
I see what you did there.
So sorry for interrupting, Rob. Go ahead.
But no, I think Han 2 is something that you're going to see a lot of. And so, you know, again, talking about, you know, being prepared for things like, remember with Han 2, his ability is that he cheats out units. He gives you a free resource, right? So he reduces the cost of a unit that you play by one. So you can play them earlier, but he does 2 damage to them. It's once per turn, and he himself is not a super as a unit is not a super impactful leader. However, his ability is very impactful. The other thing to remember is when he is flipped as a leader, that ability is basically always active. It just as an action, you can do his thing. It's something to think about. He's going to be cheating out units early, and we got a lot of really, you know, fun big units. You know, both in this set and previous sets that are going to be making their way out there. I think outside of that, there was a 1K this past weekend, the one that I think surprised a lot of people did not surprise me, however, because if you guys have been on our channel, I was theory crafting something along this line early in the set, and that was Gar Saxon. Gar Saxon is, turns out he's real good, real good. I mean, first of all, so for those of you who don't know, Gar Saxon was a set 2 leader. Yeah, he was set 2. And his ability is just an always-on ability, so you don't even have to activate it. And that is, anytime a unit has an upgrade on it, it gets +1/+0. What this means is you get very favorable trades when you are using units that upgrade, and things that are shielded, for example, or generate experience tokens and then place them on things, automatically kind of double benefit from that. Additionally, you've got cards like Hotshot Blaster and Snapshot Reflexes, which are upgrades that allow you to instantly attack. And then because you're playing them, because they're an upgrade, they're getting plus one more than they normally give. So Hotshot Blaster, instead of being a plus two plus O, is a plus three plus O, effectively. And Snapshot Reflexes is a plus two plus one instead of a plus one plus one. So you're getting a lot of efficiency, and then this this set gave us even more shielded units to play in blue and in yellow, which is the combination that's being played right now. And it is strong. Gil, you got to see it. You got to see my version of it firsthand last night, and it just does things like you drop Shin Hati for three cost. And she's actually a 5/2 hidden shielded, like, so this on is, turn two.
So this is when. So I want to go back and circle back a couple things before I actually get into what I was going to say. So Rob mentioned there's a 1K. So that's a 1K means $1,000 worth of prizes. Like, that's like what that 1K means. I think it was actually 1.5K. So it was actually I think it was a little bit more. It was at least a 1K for sure. So just want to verify, like, again, especially if you're new to TCGs, I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was like 1,000 people, like, when I first heard it. So 1K means prizes. Much more realistic, I'll say. And then when Rob mentioned, like, these abilities that are on or off, and, like, you know, shielding with ambush or whatever, like, We had an episode a couple weeks ago about these keywords. It is very important to understand how these keywords work and that how they can be ordered, because when Rob says it's strong, yeah. I mean, it is strong. So, you know, you think about the line he was talking about, like Shin Hati or like Darth Tyrannus. I don't know if you were about talking about Darth Tyrannus.
But yeah, like, we'll talk about Tyrannus.
Yeah. Like, the shield is a keyword with hidden.
Shielded
is a keyword, puts it on this unit, and then the ability of the leader gives it an additional bonus of plus one attack. So Shin Hati turns from 4/2 shielded to 5/2 shielded, just existing, right? Just with the shield. But then if you take the shield off, you ping it off, goes back to being a 4/2. These are little mechanics that you have to remember, like these, like when you're playing in the game, like be conscious of, like, when the board changes, always look at the cards and how everything interacts, because that's very important for you to succeed, especially if you're thinking about competitive play. Sorry, I just want to make sure we, you know.
No. You're all good. So, I mean, and the thing about Shin Hati in particular, but it's not just her, is that that five attack that early in the game often trades up very aggressively, and then oftentimes you're almost always left with still a 4/2 on the board, which still is very, very strong. She can, you know, aggressively trade up and then still be on the board and something that your opponent has to deal with.
So sorry, just a random thing, speaking of, like, mm-hmm. trading up, Zach, you were almost exclusively an Anakin Colossus player for, like, an entire set. And so Anakin does a lot of trade-ups. Random thought, but, like, do you think Anakin is going to do well in this next set? Like, as a lead? Anakin 3.
Twilight.
Well, we're getting a little bit of power creep with some of the new units. I think Anakin's going to be very well into a Han 2. Dominant meta. I don't think Anakin's going to be very well into, like, a discard meta. Anakin never has been well into a discard meta from my experience, and I'm cursed. I cannot beat Sabine competitively for the life of me. I cannot do it. I lose to it every time. That is like the big shtick with me. But I think Anakin is exclusively going to be highlighted at the world event to beat Han 2.
Yeah. Do you think it's Colossus, or do you think it's a 30-point base or force base? Because Colossus, you're starting off with less cards already, right? So
That is what I was playing for majority of set four, and I was losing horrendously to Quinlan. I was not.
Yeah, it was just devastating against
them. The 30 base or the 20 health force base, because now you got Ki-Adi Mace as your baseline package. And Chirrut, amazing.
Right.
Well, and then you kind of just slap all the new units around together, the 2/4s and the 2/2 shielded, and you can start trading up early game. I think Anakin wants to end the game by turn 5 or 6, because usually you want to flip, and then I call it a lever deck. You hit the switch, and you start hitting really hard with Anakin, and then the game wants to end at that point. If you go super long, like into a hard control matchup, you're not surviving.
Yeah, I'd say, like, once you flip Anakin,
it's not great. Like,
you want to hit with him twice, and then game's over.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I think Anakin early game is going to be huge. I also have run into the problem that it's very initiative based. If you don't win the initiative, you're immediately at a disadvantage because your trade up is effective.
So I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna combine you two, and I'm gonna say that an Anakin Force yellow base is gonna be exceedingly like well positioned at Worlds. That's my bold. Really? That's my bold prediction. That's my bold prediction. I think that, like, if you think about what Anakin can do and the yellow cards that are out there, so like for example, Anakin with Force and then like Plo Koon, you know, it's a great combination. If you think about the new
set 3 Plo Koon, not the new one.
Yeah, the old one. The 5-cost. The new one sucks. Doesn't suck. The new one's blue, but not that it sucks. I mean, like, out of Twilight, that Plo Koon is probably one of the best cards of that set, and it's an uncommon.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. First of all, it comes out with Ambush, right? It does at least 3, so you're getting your Force played, you know, for 5. It can punch up to 9. So 6 to 8.
6.
With raid three,
so if you have Anakin plus that plus the pump, it could do up to 8 damage on the board to defeat any unit on 6 resource turn if you have coordinate up, right? And then because it's generating the Force, right? Like other cards, for example, so like this is why like Rob talking about the yellow is like just powerful. Like I haven't even like sorry, I kept interrupting your thing. I was so excited, but like if you think about like Vernestra Row, which is the new 3-cost cunning heroism unit. When played, it's like a ground unit Millennium Falcon for a Force. Just
play. She comes in ready for a Force.
Comes in ready. Right? Yeah. There. Finish. 3 damage. Just boom.
She's a 3/4 too, right?
Yeah, she's 3/4. So like, what are people going to punch up to her? There's a lot of 2/4s out there. Anyway. Go ahead.
No, because particularly heroic side got a lot of like good one drop Force units. That Villainous didn't get as many. Villainous really kind of was left out in the cold as far as that was concerned. And it kind of makes sense from like a theming standpoint, but heroic, like the turn one drops, for Force base units, you got a lot of them. You've got, I mean, like just off the top of my head, Adigala, you got, Yaddle, you got,
You got Gunji,
and you got the Jedi Consular, which is also really and like even in yellow, which didn't get a lot, the young Padawans are actually really good. They're like a 2/3, and you're like, and it instantly gives you the Force. So you're going to turn 2 with the Force already. You don't even have to attack. So there's a lot of really good just 2 drops or 2 cost drops that heroic has access to. So it's really quite exciting particularly if you're running a Force base and you're heroic. So funnily enough, Gil, because you were making mention of it, and I'll give away some of my tech. The Gar Saxon deck that was second place in the 1K Was running a just normal 30 HP base. So no force specific units in there. I, however, am going to be running it on a yellow force base. Reason being is because Darth Tyranus is just cracked in Gar Saxon. If the force is with you, and the way that my deck is structured, I really don't spend the force. So as long as I get it once early, it kind of sits around for a little bit. And there's a specific reason for that, because Darth Tyranus comes out on 4. And if the force is with you, he ambushes. But he's also shielded. So he's a 5-3 ambush on 4.
Yep.
It's nuts. So you can drop Shin Hati the turn before on 3, and she's a 5-2 shielded. She's also hidden, so you can't directly attack her. You have to either remove her, and nobody really wants to spend removal that early on her. Although it may be worth it, because she does hit like a truck. But then you can immediately follow that up with an ambushing Darth Tyranus. It hurts. It really does hurt. I mean, like, it deals with Sabine. Like, if Sabine flips and you've got the force, you're just like, cool, Tyranus.
Also, you're able to, with the shields and everything, you're able to punch up into, like, Han 2s.
Yep. Right?
So, like, you're doing 5 to anything they've cheated down. So, yeah, they got a Poe. Great. Poe's gone.
I kill it. Yeah, I kill it.
You know what I mean? It just keep them off the force. Like, that's, yeah, it's pretty powerful combination. You know? Okay, let's not give away too much tech though. You got to.
No, it's okay. Like, dude, it's not like I'm winning a PQ, or it's not like I'm winning a PQ, or I'm taking Galactics with. You know, I'm here to have a good time. But that's some of the stuff that I've been working on.
Well, you heard it here first.
Yep, and if you are curious about the list, hey, listeners out there, you can go to our Discord server, because I just posted basically what I'm going to be running for Galactics on there, so you can take a look through it and see what's on there.
I like our Discord because everyone has their, like, really fun takes on decks. And, one of our listeners in the UK shared his, like, all-creature Jurassic Park-ish deck, which was pretty cool. So I need to give that a whirl. I just like the idea of, like, a nothing-but-creatures deck, right? And just the leader is just, like, there, like banging the drum, like, having his entire, like, mythosaur fleet come out. What's up, Zach?
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be like when he talked about it, I thought it was going to be Kanan leader, because at least there's like the creature, like he gets the creature bonuses, but nope. It's just a bunch of creatures.
Sorry, I was gonna say, I think after Galactics happens and everyone kind of gets the meta reveal, I think I'm gonna post my takes of like more of my competitive stuff. I'm gonna post it in that Discord too. Cool. Maybe not my.
That'd be awesome.
But I'm gonna put out a couple lists that I think are worth exploring and seem interesting. So if you listeners, be sure to tune into that as well after Galactic or the PQ season.
If you so choose, we're not telling you to. All right, so we're coming in on time, almost at 40 minutes. So let's move on to the last part of our show. The segment we're gonna talk about is the best one cost cards. Like unit and or upgrades, not unit, sorry, event or upgrades out of all the sets, right? What are the best one cost cards out there? We're going to do like a little round robin. Maybe we'll have a little debate. I'm sure there's going to be some controversy. We're not talking about force throw. So if you're here for that, just off stop listening.
I mean, it is one of the most powerful
one cost cards. But we're not going to talk about that. We get it. I'm tired of, I'm just tired of listening about hearing about force throw. Okay. So, I'll go first, and then Corey, you haven't talked in a while because we went into the meta section. You can go second. We'll go down like a little loop, right? And then Rob, then Zach, if that's okay. So for me, I'm actually the one cost I'm really excited for. I'm not sure if it's gonna be like super great or anything, but you have to think about like the implications here. As I have foreseen, it's a one cost event card. It's a villainy cunning card. You look at the top of your deck. You use the force. So for a force, if you do play that card, it costs 4 less. So for a force and one resource, you get to bring a 4 cost unit into play. So think about like the implications there. Like there are so many things you could potentially do. Barisafi, for example, she does like one of her combinations, she makes something cost even less, like zero. So for example, it's just like a force and you get to play a four for like nothing, essentially. Or not nothing, but like a half an action. Like, I just think there's a lot of different play here, and I think this card is going to be really, really good in the future. We just got to find a way to make it work. I think someone's going to realize
potential's there for sure.
The potential is there. Anything that cheats out something is good to me, right? Yes. You know, that's just what it is.
We've seen it time and again.
Time and time again. So that's my hot take, for especially specifically for the new set. I know there's a lot of other one drop, but this is an event card that I'm going to keep an eye on. It's a rare card too, by the way, so maybe the value will go up. Like, I'm going to probably buy a hyperspace or two. All right, Corey, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a green card, okay, and that would be Timely Intervention. Staple of a lot of green decks, yep. I would say. It's not only... Yes, there. If you're watching the YouTube, Zach's got it in his corner of the screen here. But it's not only just a one cost. It can be played from hand for that, but you can also smuggle this. And what Timely Intervention is doing is it's giving a card ambush. So a unit that you want to play out and you need to either get that on attack ability, like Poe is a great example. The new Darth Vader is a great example. Their on attack abilities are so pivotal to those cards effect to the game and what they can do to change the game into your favor. They need to attack when they're played for the most part to get the most value, and Timely Intervention allows that to happen. You just, for an extra cost, you get to play the card and immediately attack with it to a unit. Obviously, we talked about this before, you cannot go to base with ambush, but Timely Intervention has that ability, and you do not necessarily need to keep it in your hand to use it later on. It just costs twice as much at two, but for one cost in your hand, this card is pretty amazing.
Pretty powerful. Yeah,
agreed. So I've got three, but I'm going to start with one of them. And
what we're doing. One cost.
No. I know. But so it's technically a one cost. It is technically a one cost, but DL-44 Blaster is probably one of the most powerful one costs in the game. It's a one cost red that has a smuggle ability on it. The smuggle, however, changes it to yellow, which is kind of, it's not the only card that changes colors when you smuggle it, but it's one of the few that does. And the smuggle cost is actually three, so I'm cheating a little bit here. But when you smuggle it, it gives +2/+0 to the unit that you attach it to, because it's an upgrade, and it immediately may attack. So you talk about cards that gain a lot of benefit from on attack. That is one that is just really, really powerful, because it's not ambushing. Now you can just attack base. Again, the obvious, where I'm a little biased on this, is obviously that it pairs very well with Gar Saxon, so it's effectively not a 2-0, it's a 3-0. So effectively it's a smuggleable surprise strike that also just stays on your unit. It's really good.
Yep, that's a great one. 100%. That's in like every cunning deck, so I'm with you. All right, Zach, how about you?
Bouncing off of what Rob just said, I'm actually torn, because I was going to showcase my favorite one cost from the new set, but because he's so into Gar,
I know which one you're thinking too, though. I like that one too.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go into this. It's an older card. I had this idea. This segment, unfortunately, is based off the prevalence of Force Throw, and I asked this question to myself because I was trying to find the replacement for Force Throw. What can be as powerful as a one cost? I think this card. I looked on TCG Player. It's only 20 cents right now. I think you need to get free of this card immediately after you listen to this. And it is Mystic Reflection. I think this card is
going
to be amazing.
That's the one I had on my list, too.
Yeah, and I think it totally dismantles that Gar Saxon deck early on, because all those units that have shielded that are hitting for a lot have 2 health. And what Mystic Reflection does is if you start the game with a force unit on the board, and then you play it for one cost, you give something -2/-2. This goes through things such as Lurking Tie Phantom, which avoid capture/damage. It's a modifier instead of damaging. And it also goes under shields. So all those two health units with shields, you're not dealing damage to it, so you're not going to ping the shield. You're going to go right onto the shield, and you're just going to remove the unit from the game. So I think it's... I think you need to get three of this card immediately. The hyperspace is, like, around the $2 range. I think when Force Throw gets banned, I think this card... I think the stock is going to go way up. So
it is a rare, so it is. It's not like it's everywhere, so...
It's also
definitely get it now for sure.
It's very powerful in that, like, it's also counter to Force Throw. Someone Force Throws you, you play a one cost Mystic Reflection, whatever. And also if you think about, like, against Haunt 2, right? The Haunt 2 decks, they cheat out units like Hiyari Mundi, which everyone hates. Like, remove it for two because they probably cheated it out, especially if you have a Force unit. Also, it's one of the rare blue one costs that actually means something. Like, a lot of the one costs that are really, really good that a lot of people play are actually aggression and cunning, from my perspective. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm going to bring up one that's not, like, in the next, like, thing. But, like, that's a good call. The Mystic Reflection one is just, like, solid. Like, it was a forgettable card in previous sets.
It's because the Force was just hard to turn on before now. Now it's always, you're almost always turning it on.
Yeah. So. Okay, so... I'll go next. Well, maybe we'll do one more round and then we'll close out the segment. But I don't want to be too... I'll try not to be too obvious, but they're just... What's good is good. So I'm actually gonna... I'll do a red card, not a green one. Daring Raid. All right.
Yeah,
of course.
Daring Raid is a one cost event card from Shadows of the Galaxy set 2. For one cost, you get to deal 2 damage to a unit or a base. So you get that closer or whatever reach. For one cost, fill out the curve. The curve is being like the amount of resources on your in your resource row. Like, you have that one spirit, do something. You could still do something with it. I think it's a very powerful common card that was a staple in a lot of red decks. Maybe not so much now, but when in doubt, it's like eating your vegetables. Like, it's never a bad thing to have it in your deck. You might need it to be better. Like, you might need something better, but like when in doubt, you could just throw it in there. And you're not gonna be sad about it, you know what I mean?
Yes, I gotta be honest. In like most direct damage decks like the Boba Fett 4 deck, it's just money. Like it really is. Anytime it's a one cost and it's so flexible. That's the thing. You can just do damage to base. You can just do damage to base. I can't tell you how many times in like when I was playing Jango Fett, that would just close out a game. You're holding on to two daring raids and you get them to within 4 and you're just like, cool, back to back daring raid. Like, they can't do anything about it. Even if they remove your units, there's nothing to be done. It's really, really backbreaking. But then it also does things like, you chip damage on something or you run into something and it's got 2 health left. You talk about Han being, damaging his units and you're like, cool, you took that 2-4 to a 2-2 and now I can just get rid of it, so there's a lot of flexibility in that card. It's just good.
Great. Those are great points, Rob. So how about you, Corey? Next one, what do you got next?
I'll do a blue one since you're putting blue down a little bit, but I'll say top target as a
knew it. Tell me more.
Tell me more. As far as blue decks go, and control decks, because you're just trying to eliminate their units constantly. And what top target is, it's a upgrade for you, not for them, because now you're putting this bounty on a opponent's unit. And when you clear that unit, defeat that unit, you're going to heal your base from the health. And if it's a unique unit, you're healing even more. So
you're healing 6.
Yeah, so you're trying to get those on the unique units, and with the Force, Legends of the Force, there's a lot more unique units that have been coming out. So, like, you're almost always going to be hitting unique units with that card. And for one cost, just throw it on something and then defeat it. You're healing 4 to 6. I think it's 4, right?
It's normal, and then 6 is unique.
Yeah, so it's a great way to just make sure you're kind of staying lower on that health as a control deck. That's what you're trying to do, is survive long enough to get to your big stuff, the end game. So yeah, top target, one cost, can't go wrong there.
Nice. No, great card. Very, very powerful. I've played it a lot, actually, too, so I get it. All right, Rob, what do you got?
All right, well, I have a feeling Zach's going to pick my other card, so I'm going to go with one that's, it's particularly in this last set, has been a staple in every single deck, and that is Confiscate. Confiscate just straight up kills leaders if they were the up, if you're using them as pilots. It's a very, very strong card there. And even within this meta, particularly with a lot of lifesavers potentially being in decks, you know, Gungi General's Blade being something to like watch out for on turn two, Confiscate in your deck is even in your sideboard is still very, very strong.
Yeah,
and Vader yellow is still a thing. So, like, you know, flipping out Vader, and if your opponent flips Vader out onto a spaceship, and you're like, and you've got that waiting in hand, that'll ruin their day.
Or even any deck that's, there's so many lightsabers out there. Yoda's lightsaber,
yeah,
like General's
Dark
Blade,
Saber with Sabine,
whatever. I mean, like, Confiscate's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a. Zach, round us out, man. What do you got last? It has to be a really good card because you're the last one. So if it's not good, we're done. Just kidding.
I think I'm going to showcase this card, and then I'm going to probably end it on like another card that I think is going to go up stock, an older card. But we're going to start with this one. Bolstered Endurance. I think this card is... This felt gross and limited. I 3-0'd my pre-release event and then 3-0'd a draft event. And one of these was in both of those decks. And I played, I played Obi-Wan. I think I played Obi-Wan twice. No. I played Snoke Blue for the draft. And I played Obi-Wan Virgin's Temple for the pre-release because I pulled it in the last pack. And 4 points of stats for one is crazy.
Yeah, it's really good.
Throwing this on a Chariot, disgusting. It eats aggression. It eats aggro alive, in my opinion. And I think just being able to, like, give things more health is good. I think Protect the Pod as, like, a four-cost removal, I think that might be more popular. I think this card might skyrocket that in, like, a blue-green dichotomy kind of deck. I think this card is gross. I think it looks really funny. So it makes me laugh every time I play it. It's my favorite upgrade. It's honestly might be my favorite card in the new set, to be honest, because of just the inherent value of this when you put it on the board. And then to kind of round out the segment, the card that I think got way better this set, finally, was everyone was waiting for this one to get good. I think Force Lightning.
Yeah.
Finally got some love.
Yeah, baby.
And I think it's going to get even more love next set if we get more Force/Sith from Secrets of Power. The card art is beautiful. I picked up Hyperspace for $12 to $13 each, and I got all three in one shot because I was like, I was building my girlfriend a Talisman Red deck. I was like, I need three Force Lightning to put in there.
Real quickly, let's talk about what Force Lightning does. It's a card from set one. It's a legendary card. I actually had like 8 of these at one point. I sold a lot of them. I still have 3 left. It's a legendary card. It's a 1-cost red, so aggression villainy, so red black. What it does is you choose a unit and loses all ability for this phase. This happens first. So for example, if it's on like the crate dragon's ability is gone for the entire round. So right,
it still hits you for the one. Still hits you for the one.
No, you choose the order. Why would it hit you for one?
You pay before, right?
Yeah, you pay the before. I think the cost of you playing it makes the damage happen, and then the effect happens.
No, but it's not like a one play. It's just like a text. You know what? We're gonna go to the rules section. Let's talk about we'll talk about this after. We'll have a debate on the Discord about this. I'm pretty sure it just negates the one cost, like right off the rip, because you get to choose the order. It's not a when played. Yeah. It's just like it just does it, like Force Lightning. But I could be wrong. I don't know. So anyway, it loses all abilities for the phase. And then if you control a Force unit, again, this is where the caveat is. If you have to control a Force unit. pay any number of resources and deal 2 damage to the chosen unit. So that lost its ability. So not only does it lose its ability, but every resource you pay is 2. So times it by 2 and just does stacks damage. So you get to kind of pick, like, you could just eliminate a unit.
It's also yeah, 6 cost.
Kill a creep dragon for 6.
Yeah.
Kill a leader.
Resources.
You can kill a leader. Yeah. Heck yeah. You could do all types of stuff. So especially if like a leader gives like +1 health, like a Rex. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Kill that turret before it can be real bad for you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, cheer. Like, yeah. It's an amazing card. That's a great selection, Zach. So, yeah. Appreciate that. All right. So, we'll finish there. This was a great conversation. Thank you for, Zach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Rob and Corey, as always, gentlemen, appreciate your insight. I learned a few things. I got spanked the other night by Rob's Gar deck, by the way. So it is legit in that sense. It's too legit to quit. So be scared in the future. And playing against it and seeing the lines, like the Force version, I think is better than the 30-point base because there's a lot more options there. For the longer term, longer portion of the game. Mm. Think about like Vader's Sheen Flurry, which, you know, all of these type of combinations. Like,
another,
sick.
Another long
time. Yeah, see, that was one I thought you were going to break out, Zach.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about Sheen Flurry real quick. We got 30 seconds. Yep. Rob, us why that card is freaking cracked.
Is cracked?
Maybe not cracked, but why it's so good, especially with
Vader. No, it's good. It's really good. So it's one cost. You know, Corey was talking about the importance of ambush and how granting ambush to something that normally doesn't have it is really, really good. So this does that. Does it to a force unit. So cost 1. You can then play a card from your hand. It gains ambush, but additionally, it also negates 2 damage that it would take on the next damage it would take. So you're ambushing something in. It takes damage. It's reduced by 2. And then if you're doing this on something like a Vader, so you can do it on you're not doing it on 6 resources. You're doing it on 7, but you can ambush Vader out of hand. He drops 2 shields. He ambushes into something, kills that. He's also killing something else that he shielded. It's really gross.
It's such a cool line, and like would not be something that you could typically really do in like a non-force deck, or like why would you think about doing it? So scary.
But you can also do that with like Shin Hati. You can also do it with a lot of other a lot of other cards in that deck. Like there's a lot of like little force units in there that suddenly punch up because of it, and then reducing the damage is very useful because it might preserve your shield.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad. I was like, you know what? Good job, brother. Clap my hands.
Oh, that wasn't even the one that got you. The one that got you was the Deceptive Shade.
Oh yeah.
No, that card is being slept on so hard.
Oh yeah, that card is so, you want to talk about cracked? That card is so good, but that's a 2 cost. So I can't talk about it right now.
All right. So if you want more information on this deck, go to our Discord and play some game. We have a playtesting group. Like people play. Like me, Corey, the guy Tony. Like I've seen other people join like randomly. Like it's pretty fun. Like come join us for some games. It's always a good time. With that, gentlemen, thank you so much for this special episode this evening, Wednesday, July 16th, ending at 11:11 p.m. Make a wish, by the way. Until next time, see you guys. Hopefully at Galactics. Bye. May the Force be with you. Oops.